Our scripture this morning is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 12. You can follow along in your Bible or on the screen. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgiving to God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, I think most of you are aware that we have been reading a book together called Shiny Gods by Mike Slaughter. We do have copies of this still. We have leftover copies. So if you've not gotten one, please do so. It's just 4 weeks long, 4 chapters long, but it's a good book that we have been considering. And it is about rejecting shiny gods. And that means putting our focus and serving God as first in our lives. And it's about the temptation that we often have to chase after things of this life. Even things that God provides for us, good gifts, we can turn and treat the gifts as if the gifts are God rather than the one who gave the gifts. We talked in the first week about the golden calf episode in the Old Testament and how God had been the source of the gold that the people had received, and then they had used that gold to form an image, an idol that they then worshiped. And in the same way, when we take anything in this life which is a gift from God, and it is all a gift from God, our life itself is a gift from God, and when we fail to recognize God as the giver, we begin to treat the gift as a shiny god and essentially to commit idolatry for it. There's a quote in the book that stood out to me. I'm going to share several today, but one of the quotes that was in the book, I don't remember if it was actually in this week's or not, but it said, when we place idols ahead of God, we are headed for a divorce from God. When we place idols ahead of God, we're headed for a divorce from God. And that's what we saw in the golden calf episode, what we see throughout our lives. When we, once again, fail to recognize God as the giver of all gifts and start seeking the gifts as our ultimate goal rather than staying in relationship with the giver, then that causes a separation or a divorce from God. In our scripture today, Paul writes to the Corinthians about giving, and one of the things that he notes in thinking about giving and generosity, he talks about giving as being like seed, using the image from agriculture. And Paul says, he who sows seed generously will have an abundant return, have an abundant crop. Of course, that makes sense to us. If you put more seed out there, there's going to be more that's growing and more produce, more of a product as a result. But the thing that Paul mentions, he calls God the giver of the seed. And so once again, as we think about our giving, our offering of what God has given to us, we remember that God gives it to us. God is the giver of the seed. God is the source. God is where we get everything that we have. And so God is the generous God in that He provides for us, and then He allows us to give a portion of what He has given us. We do have some newcomers here, and one thing, if you are a newcomer, that you may not realize, but I don't talk about money all the time, but I definitely do it at least once a year, and when I do it in a very straightforward way, because I believe that God calls us to be generous. And when we are generous, we are following after the example of God, who is generous. And so this is something that is, I believe, important. It's been important in my life and faith, and I've seen it be important in so many others. I think it's essential to our faith. Once again, that's what the book is about, is that when we start to pursue the gifts of God as ends in themselves and forget about the giver, that's where we're heading for divorce. We have that separation from God. So this is an important thing in our faith. Jesus talked about money and possessions a lot. And it said he actually talked about it more than anything else except the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And in some ways, those two things go together. In fact, they're kind of opposites. So Jesus talked about money and possessions more than anything else other than the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And so it's essentially Jesus was talking about the things of God and our relationship with God. And he was talking about our relationship with stuff, money and possessions. So kind of a heavenly mindedness and an earthly mindedness. We are born into this world with an earthly mindedness. From the time we are children, we're babies, we want to be fed. You know, we want to eat. And so throughout our lives, kind of it's natural to look at this world and to seek the things of this world that we need. But in our Christian faith, and it's not just in our Christian faith, it's in the Jewish faith as well, God reveals himself as the creator and the giver of all gifts, and God invites us into relationship with him. So it's not just about the things of this world. Of course, we'll all leave this world someday. And having that relationship with the Creator is the most important thing. And so God calls us to grow into relationship with Him. And He calls us to follow His example in being generous. Being generous is not only a good thing in itself, it also helps us to release our hold on the things of this life so that we are able to also focus primarily on that relationship with the giver. Jesus talked about it this way. He said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus recognized that money and possessions were a shiny God that we gravitate towards. And so he said, "Where your treasure is, if it's on earth, if it's gold and silver and stuff and cars and houses, if your treasure is on earth, your heart will be there also." But if we remember that the gifts come from the Creator, the giver, then our heart will be with the giver who has been so generous to us. Jesus also said, "You cannot serve God and money." You can try, but you can't do it. You will choose one over the other. And that's what idolatry is about, is what do we choose first? What do we trust in? Once again, Paul, in writing about this, he calls us to sow seed. That is to trust and to receive from the giver. The God is the giver of seed. And rather than just consuming the seed, to cast it out and trust that it will do more good and it will create a greater harvest. So sow sparingly and you will reap sparingly, but he or she who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And then Paul gives a good instruction. He says, each of you must give as you have made up your mind to do. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind to do. That is probably the thing that I most encourage, try to encourage people to do, is to plan their giving, to make up their mind about their giving. Because there are many people and even many Christians who don't make up their mind about their giving. They just do whatever happens to be available in their wallet on Sunday when they come. And Paul is calling us to be intentional, to make up our minds about giving. A quote that I heard once that I think is very true, and this relates to giving and generosity. The quote was that no one drifts into generous giving habits. They decide their way into generous giving habits. And so that's what I'm always encouraging people to do, is to make decisions, not just to drift, because generosity is what God calls us to, and it's such a blessing to us. And then Paul also in this passage reminds us that when we give generously or sow generously, the produce and the harvest is a blessing to other people. He says that you will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. So Paul is saying, and it is the truth, and I'm thankful for our church, I'm thankful for your generosity, because many people give praise to God because of your generosity. You give, and how we are able to help others through your giving causes people to realize that these folks are different. They're doing something different. They're not just trying to get the biggest houses and cars and stuff like the world has taught them to do. They are blessing the world. They're blessing other people. And so that produces thanksgiving to God through us. Thanksgiving to God through us. There are people who discover God's love because of churches and church people, followers of Christ who are living differently and they are giving differently. And so they see, other people see that and they give thanks to God. And so this is a holy enterprise that we are involved in, and is what God has called us to be a part of. And God, as Paul says, he supplies the seed to the sower. So it would be wrong if God gives us what we have, if he provides the seed to us, it would be wrong to hoard it all for ourselves. That's not what it's made for. It is made to release so that it can produce a greater harvest than we could do on our own. I think, in a way, I think about the idea of our lives and maybe even bank accounts being like a bucket. And the thing about a bucket is once you get a certain amount of water into it, you can't fill it anymore. Now, that may not quite be an exact analogy, because, of course, as far as I know, there aren't any limits on bank accounts. I'm not talking about the FDIC. They'll keep taking it. It may not be federally insured or whatever, but they'll keep taking it as far as I know. But in a sense, we are not like a bucket in that, yes, we can take more, and but the more we have, at a certain point, it's going to start sloshing over the sides and end up wasted. And I think that instead, what God calls us to is to be a little bit less like that bucket, trying to put more and more and more and more. And I can relate to that. I mean, I feel more comfortable. We know that more is provides backup and all that kind of stuff. But gosh, we're called to trust in God, not money, right? That's why it says it, on the money. In God we trust. So rather than being like a bucket and trying to get more in, to kind of be more like a funnel that allows it to go out as God would direct and to be a blessing to others. So I think the goal is not so much about having more that we can hold. It's about receiving more seed from the sower. And as we release, that allows God to give more to us. We receive more, we can give more, and God can work through that. In the book, the author, who's a Methodist pastor, he talks about John Wesley. And John Wesley had a similar idea from Scripture. And the way John Wesley put it is, earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can. There's nothing wrong with making money. It's encouraged. Earn all that you can earn. Save all that you can save. Save by living below your means. So once again, that's the other problem in this country is very often people want to live beyond their means. So saving means to live under your means. And to be willing to try to stay out of debt, because that also can produce a situation in which we're unable to give because we've lived above our means and we have to pay off those debts. So earn all you can, save all you can, and give all that you can. Some of you received a letter yesterday, so it may have come in the mail and you didn't get around to opening it, but it's a letter in which I encourage you in giving and talk about the estimated giving cards that we do each year and why we do that. And I do recommend, as I do every year, tithing, giving 10% or more of our income as a regular practice. Once again, a regular practice, something we make up our mind to do. And I've found tithing to be a blessing in my life. It's something that's hard for me to imagine not doing at this point. And I want to encourage you to do that. Once again, this is about our relationship with God. It's about recognizing God as the source, as the giver, and putting our trust in the source rather than in what God provides for us. So once again, God says that when we sow generously, there will be an abundant harvest and we will receive. So rather than just holding it like a bucket, God calls us to release it. The last image I'll use, I've shared this before, but in Israel, in the place of the Holy Land where the Bible was written, there are two bodies of water, and one of them you've heard of is the Dead Sea, and the other is the Sea of Galilee. The Dead Sea is dead because it has no outlet. All the water with all the salt and all the minerals come into the Dead Sea. The water evaporates and leaves all that salt. So nothing can live there because the Dead Sea receives and does not give. Not too far away, a couple of hundred miles or 100 miles, I guess, up north of the Dead Sea is the Sea of Galilee, and it is beautiful like Lake Watauga or other lakes in the area because it receives, but it also gives. May God bless us as we become more generous. And may God bless the gifts that we receive from God, so that many, many others can be blessed, and that we may understand that our trust is not in money or in things. Our trust is in God alone. Let us pray. God, we know that in this life, sometimes it can feel like we don't have enough. But God, you teach us that when we have you, we always have more than enough, and that you meet our needs. God, more and more, I pray that we would be a people who, rather than feeling like we didn't have enough, we felt like we had more than enough because you are so generous, and that we might follow your example and be generous in all things. God, we thank you for the privilege of being your people, and we thank you for your generosity. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.